Most people understand that time has value. Maybe that's why we often use the expression spending time. Hi, I'm Rob West. What a lot of folks don't understand is just how valuable time really is. And if they did, it just might change the way they spend money. Today, I'll help you figure out what your time is worth. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, to start, I think it's important to point out that God values our time. Like all the other resources He provides, He's given each of us only a certain amount of it. He wants us to be faithful stewards of the days and hours we have. Psalm 90, verse 12 reads, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And James 4:14 admonishes us to make the best use of our time today. It reads, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." And of course, since most of us have to work to provide for ourselves and our families, it's important to understand what our time on the job is really worth so we can be faithful stewards of it. To figure out what you really earn per hour, take the total or gross amount you put down on your last tax return. Jot that down. Then subtract anything you paid in taxes, including Social Security and Medicare taxes, plus the income tax you paid. You're left with your net earnings. Here's an example. Let's say you earned a total of $52,000, and you paid $10,000 in Social Security, Medicare, and income taxes, leaving you with $42,000. Next, you divide that $42,000 by 52 weeks, and you get roughly $800. That's what you're netting in a week. Now, assume you work a 40-hour week, divide 800 by that number, 40, and you get $20 an hour. That's your real hourly wage. Of course, if you typically work more than 40 hours a week, it means you're earning even less than $20 an hour after taxes. Now, all of this might seem a little disheartening, especially if you've always thought you earn more like $25 an hour, which of course you do, but that's before taxes. That's why it's important to understand what your time is really worth in real dollars, dollars that you can actually spend, because then you begin to see how long you have to work to buy something. Let's say one night you're tired and you don't feel like cooking, so you pick up fast food for the family, and that costs you $50, which is pretty easy to do, by the way. When you realize that you had to work 2.5 hours to pay for that meal, you're much more inclined to spend 1 hour making dinner at home and cleaning up after. When you know what things really cost, it really can change your spending habits. You'll be far less likely to give in to impulse spending. Some economists are now calling this value-based spending. What's that? Well, it's about spending only on things that really matter. If you look at your last several months of checking account statements, you'll probably see a purchase here for $10, another one there for $20, maybe one for $50, and so on. Now, look at each item you purchased, a dinner out, or maybe some gadget caught your eye at a big box store. Look them over and think, did they really add value to my life? Especially knowing how long you had to work for them. Probably not, because you begin to realize that you can never get those hours back. And what about your credit card statement? Not only for things you purchased, but if you're maintaining a balance, look at the interest you're paying every month. What value did you get from that? None. Now that you know how long you have to work for those things, you probably want to make some changes, and just cutting out impulse spending is a huge step forward. As your time becomes more important to you, you'll free up money that you can spend in areas that have more value. That means paying down debt, building an emergency fund, saving for your next car, investing for your retirement or kids' college education, any number of things. Grasping the concept of value-based spending will do something else, too. It will make you want to overhaul your budget because you'll suddenly find yourself with more money. You'll be able to cut back in some categories and reallocate money to others that'll help you in the long term. And that certainly includes giving more generously. It'll take time for all of this to happen, but it's easy to get started once you've figured out your real hourly wage. Just keep that number in mind before you make a purchase. It'll help you decide whether it's really worth your time. Hey, as we head toward year end, let me remind you, MoneyWise is listener supported. We do what we do because of your generous support. And now more than ever, we could use that support at MoneyWise.org. Just click give. Stay with us. Much more to come just around the corner.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There is a tendency, I think, at least among those of us here in the West, to theorize a little too much. The birth of Christ becomes an idea, a good idea, a powerful idea, but an idea. We forget or choose to ignore the real historical fact behind this idea. Luke chapter 1 and 2 will not let us forget. It tells us exactly where it happened in the days of Herod, Caesar Augustus, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. The bottom line, it happened at a specific time, in a specific place. The Savior of the world is not just an idea. Christ Jesus really came, and that means he really suffered and really died. But we are really saved. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is the time where we all better be on our knees in front of our windows, where we better have the boldness to stand on the truth of God's word, where our allegiance better be to him. Listen, he alone has an enduring kingdom. He alone makes promises and keeps them. God alone, nobody else.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Let's turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Ohio today. Hi, Steve. How can I help you?
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm 68 years old, finishing up an estate. Going to be getting a large amount of cash from the estate. I wondered what I know there's no safe place, but what your opinion would be on sticking that money in.
Yeah. So you're going to have about $200,000. And how does this relate to your other investable assets, Steve? Do you have other investments currently?
We do. We have quite a bit of stock, probably a little more than 200 in stock and, a couple of rentals that we'll be getting income from. I really don't need this money for a while, but didn't know what your opinion would be, where to put it.
Yeah, very good. And you, in addition to the existing stock that you have and the rentals, the rental properties, do you have some liquid savings as well?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, so you're in a really strong position here, and love the fact that you're diversified among asset classes with the stock portfolio. You've got the real estate holdings that are going to be or are already generating good income for you. Now you're going to have this additional $200,000 on top of that that you said you don't need, which is always a good position to be in. What are your thoughts on just adding it to your existing stock portfolio and managing it with the same approach there? Were you hoping to do something different?
One advisor that I have says that he would get everything out of the stock market.
Okay.
We've looked at fixed annuities. Sure. What are your thoughts on that? Or treasury bills?
Yeah.
Money market accounts?
Checking sure. accounts? Yeah, so I think you've got to back up and really look at the whole portfolio. And if you all are comfortable continuing to be landlords, I would say absolutely. Hang on to that real estate and let that just generate income and appreciate over time, even though we're kind of in a cycle right now where the housing market is dipping. With regard to the rest of the investable assets, I would look at what your total time horizon is and what your risk tolerance is. If this is, again, all money you're not trying to generate an income from currently, and you just are looking for both conservative posture to protect and preserve the capital that you have, but get a decent rate of return to try to outpace inflation, perhaps not at its current level, but at a more realistic level, maybe somewhere between 2% and 4% a year. I would say having an allocation to stocks makes sense. At nearly 70 years old, we would say somewhere usually between 30% and 40% in a stock position of your total investable assets that would provide the growth component, and then perhaps 60 or 70,000 in more fixed income type assets. And then within that fixed income category, you could look at everything from laddered CDs to treasury bills, bonds, and notes. I'd probably stay on the shorter end of the duration of those. You know, as we near the end of the rate increases, we'll see less volatility in the prices of those, and they're throwing off decent yields now, where that wasn't the case in the past. You could add to that some, high quality corporate bonds. And I think, with that kind of mix of investments, again, 60 to 70% in fixed income and, 30 to 40% in stocks, with the total portfolio, so perhaps now looking at 400,000 instead of 200, I think that would be a great move for you. And, certainly we could have more volatility in the stock market, but at least with this new position that you'd be buying in, let's say, maybe 60 or 70,000 of this new 200,000 you're coming into, you'd certainly be dollar cost averaging in well below the highs from last year. And, even if we were to have some more downside here, I think, once we know the Fed's done raising rates, once inflation has come back down to at least close to their target, and we are either on the other side of the recession or we are going to avoid one, I think, with the trillions of dollars on the sideline of this market, and given that even though we've got some longer term headwinds here in the U.S., we're still in the by far the strongest position economically on the global stage, I think this market is poised to go higher. So, if it were me, I would again look at your total investable assets and think about the right investment mix between fixed income and stocks. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I guess I like the fixed annuities because that's a stable interest rate. But
yeah.
I guess I need somebody to tell me that that's okay too.
Yeah, I think it is. So let's talk about that for a second. I mean, they're not my first choice, but they are good in the case you're describing where you say, listen, I've got, some exposure to real estate. I've got some exposure to stocks and I want a portion that has a guaranteed return. And even though they tend to be complicated and you lock up your money, in your case, because this is essentially surplus, you don't really need it. And I think having the peace of mind, at least on this portion of the portfolio, to know you're locking in a guaranteed rate of return, you're transferring the risk to the insurance company away from yourself, and it's something you can count on as a stable portion of, that's guaranteed in your portfolio, I don't have any problem with that. And I wouldn't do that with the whole thing, the whole $400,000, but I think perhaps looking at this new money and taking that approach would make some sense. The only thing I would say is, perhaps get a couple of different opinions on the very best fixed annuity for you. They're not all created equal, and some are better than others, just with regard to, you know, the fees and expenses, and then, of course, the guaranteed rate that you'd be receiving.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right. If you want some other opinions, Steve, head to our website, moneywise.org, click Find a CKA, and perhaps you could find a couple of certified Kingdom advisors there in Ohio who deal with annuities that could give you a couple of options to look at, and then you and your wife pray through it and decide which one is the best fit for you. But it sounds like you're making some great decisions here. God has blessed you. You're managing his money wisely, and if we can help you in further down the road, don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks for your call today, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're taking your questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000 to Indiana. Hi, Dawn. How can I help you?
I just want to thank you for taking my call. And sure. My question is, my husband is 69 years old. He's retired and no longer working. His previous employer is forcing him to take out his 401k by December 31st. Our financial and tax advisors both suggested rolling over the pre-tax into a traditional IRA and the post-tax minus any growth into a Roth IRA. Also, to have the company make out two checks, both in the name of the financial company for the benefit of my husband,
yeah.
One for the traditional IRA and one for the Roth IRA.
Yes.
Our financial advisor and my husband called the company, they said they'd make out the pre-tax check as requested, but they insisted to issue the post-tax check in my husband's name only.
Hmm. So was it a Roth 401k that this is coming from?
No, it was it wasn't a Roth 401k. It was just a 401k.
Okay, but if it's just a traditional 401k that has all the money, why is a portion of this going to an after-tax Roth IRA?
Well, that's what the financial advisors advised.
Okay. I mean, normally what would happen is you would transfer it all to the traditional IRA, and then if you wanted to convert a portion of it to the Roth, you could do that. Let's do this. If you don't mind, you stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back and finish just on the other side. This is MoneyWise. We'll be right back.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the MoneyWise program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already December.
As 2022 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob Last, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd like to apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles, the big themes and ideas from Scripture to the financial decisions and choices you're making today, recognizing God owns it all and we're stewards of His resources, and so we want to be found faithful. Here's the key, though. When you're a manager or a steward, you want to reflect the heart of the master when you make decisions with the master's money. Well, I think the same thing applies here. That's what we're doing when we manage God's money. So we go back to Scripture and we say, what would God have for us? Well, we're to live within our provision with contentment. We're to hold it loosely and give generously. Yeah, we should enjoy it and provide for the needs of ourselves and others, but we should do that not striving for money as an end, but as a means to an end, because ultimately it's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And how we handle it reflects where we've placed our trust. Do we truly trust God as our provider? And if we do, well, we can give it away, because ultimately it's not about us holding on tightly. It's about trusting the Lord as our provider and sustainer. That's how we approach money here on this program each day. Now, what are your questions? What are you thinking about today? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Our team is standing by. Just before the break, we were talking to Dawn in Indiana. She, her husband is actually retiring and rolling a 401k over, which has to be done by the December the 31st, to IRAs. And she's been told that a portion of the money in the 401k is after-tax money, and the bulk of it is pre-tax. Now, if it's all in a traditional IRA, that's a little confusing to me, because you would typically either have a Roth variety of a 401k or a traditional, and when it comes out, it would be designated which it's going in. Of course, the Roth 401k would be after-tax. Anything going into the traditional IRA would be pre-tax. The only exception to that might be if there was company stock involved here, and you may want to handle that differently from tax purposes. So I think the next step, Dawn, is just to clarify why this portion is deemed after tax, and is it that there was two 401ks and there's just a portion of it that went into that after tax? But regardless of the answer to that, ultimately, after-tax money would get rolled into a Roth IRA. The pre-tax money would go into a traditional IRA. And you're correct. You would want that payable to the institution, FBO, your husband's name, for the benefit of. Sounds like that's what they're doing, at least for the pre-tax money. With the post-tax money, they want it to come directly to him. Although that's not the preferred approach, and again, I think you need to clarify why there is post-tax money in that traditional 401k. You do have 60 days from the time you receive it to get that deposited where it is, so that from a tax standpoint before the IRS, you don't have to treat that as a distribution, and then that just could continue growing. So again, although that's not the preferred option, you do have that 60-day window to get that deposited into the appropriate IRA. In this case, if it is truly after tax, it would be the Roth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's not an issue that's coming directly in his name. It won't.
As long as you get it in within 60 days. Now, the reason you typically don't want to do that is it's just more complicated. Now you have to justify before the IRS, that you did put it in time if they question it. Secondly, usually if it's coming out of a traditional 401k, they would withhold 20%. And then if you want to get all that in there, you'd have to make that up, because, that's been withheld and you don't want the portion withheld to be a distribution. So it does create a a little more complexity. If they're treating it as after-tax money, though, they're not going to withhold anything. So at least that piece is off the table. But it just does mean that you're going to have to get it and then pass it along to the brokerage firm, get it deposited within that 60-day window, and then keep all that documentation. So if there's ever a question, you can defend that. I would also make sure you're in conversation and communication with your CPA just to make sure that everything is done appropriately. Okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your information. It makes me feel better.
All right. Good. Well, thank you, Dawn, and all the best to you all as you head into this next season of life. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with your questions and comments, whatever is on your mind financially speaking. Let's take a quick email. We receive emails all the time at questions@moneywise.org, and we try to get several of them on the air each day. If you'd like to send us a question to perhaps be read on the air, again, send it along to questions@moneywise.org. Becky writes to us. She says, I'm considering a job where I'd be a subcontractor for the first time. How complicated will this be with my taxes? I think some taxes will be withheld. If so, is this something we can still use an online software package to perform our taxes each year? Do you have any tips for me? Here's what I would say to that, Becky. As a contractor, your clients won't withhold any taxes from your pay. They'll be reported to you and the IRS on a 1099 form. That means you have to do the withholding. So what I would do is set up a business checking account to receive your pay and only transfer over and above about 70% of that to your personal checking. That way you'll always have 30% of your earnings to make the estimated quarterly payments. And you're going to want to do that just to make sure that you're paying enough in each quarter so that the IRS doesn't hit you with any kind of penalties. You can use a software package to do your taxes, but they are going to be more complicated than when you were just a W-2 employee. There are a number of deductions you may not be aware of. Now, the software packages get better and better and can help you uncover many of those. But especially early on, if not on an ongoing basis, I'd recommend, given this change, using a tax professional as you move forward just to make sure you are doing this properly, your books are set up correctly, you can defend it all before the IRS, you're paying it on a timely basis, and you're maximizing every possible deduction available to you as an independent contractor. So hope that helps you, Becky. All the best to you in this new endeavor. I'm sure it'll be exciting and a lot of fun. Hey, if you have a question, send it along to us, questions@moneywise.org. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Jackie in Colorado, we're coming your way next. 800-525-7000. Call right now.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Money Wise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. As we head toward year-end, we're trying to meet our year-end goal of $250,000. We're well on our way there, but still a ways to go. And if you'd like to support this listener-supported ministry with a tax-deductible gift, we'd certainly be grateful. If you've come to rely on this program, perhaps you listen each day or you're a regular part of the MoneyWise family and you'd like to help support this ministry so we can finish the year strong and plan for our ministry activities in 2023, we would invite you to be a supporter. If you'd make your gift either one time or set up a monthly patron gift at moneywise.org by December 31st. Again, we'd be incredibly grateful. Just head to moneywise.org. You'll see the banner at the top of the page with our progress toward our year-end goal, and you'll also see a button that says Give Now. Thanks in advance. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today, and we've got some lines open, perhaps for your question on anything financial. Let's head to Colorado. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, the bond markets are down so much right now, and there's like, if I had like $200,000 cash, and I don't need it, and the other diversification is okay in my portfolio, if I wanted the money within the next 2 years, do you think that would be a wise choice? Because total bond markets are down like 15%.
Yeah.
Long-term is down about 25%.
Yeah.
It was down 35% about a month ago.
Yeah.
But these markets have to come back, don't they? And then they're U.S. Treasuries, so I feel kind of safe about that, except the long-term, which is 44% U.S. government and about 20% A and 27% BBB.
Yeah.
But what do you think of that?
Yeah, I guess the only thing would just be this 2-year time horizon, Jackie, because as interest rates continue to head higher, and although the Fed has signaled that they're going to begin slowing the pace of the fund rate rises, they're still headed higher until we get a clear indication, or the Fed does, that inflation is coming down dramatically, which means that these bond prices will continue to fall. You'd be better off on the shorter end of the duration. They'll be less volatile. And I agree, the yield is looking more and more attractive. But given the fact that you said you want this money available in the next 2 years, I would probably look to CDs at that point. If you go to bankrate.com today to find the very best FDIC insured CD products, you'll find that, you know, for a little bit, even a 1-year CD, I'm looking at 4.5% right now, only locking it up for 12 months. months. You can absolutely get 4%, at multiple banks. So, you know, that would be, you wouldn't have to worry about the volatility of the bond prices, given where rates are going. And it would allow you 12 months from now to roll it over and take advantage of even higher rates if they're available. And you'd have the, you know, backing of the U.S. government. So they would be very, very safe. What are your thoughts on that, though?
Well, I really, you know, I have other money, too. So I really probably don't need it in 2 years. If it was 5 years, would you think differently?
Yeah, perhaps. And I think that's where, you know, again, depending on what kind of safety you're looking for, if you're wanting to stay on the most conservative end of the spectrum, perhaps, you know, you look at, taking a portion of it in CDs and then a portion in the Treasury bills. I think that could be a great option. I would agree. The yields are looking attractive, and especially as we head toward the end of the fund rate increases, these prices will stabilize, and then, you know, you'll even have some appreciation once rates start heading back down. So, yeah, I would say with a 5-year time horizon, continuing to bolster more of the fixed income portion of your portfolio with Treasury bills. And then, you know, perhaps you even look to, you know, continue to build out your corporate, high quality corporate bond allocation. I think that could be another option as well. They're all going to be in the same kind of general range of yields. The question is just, are you going to get some appreciation on the prices as well, when we get to the end of the increases in the rates?
You know, I could put more into stocks because I'm not diversified as far as I could go at my age. Yeah. You know, would that be a better choice, you think, to get it diversified to like the 60-40?
I think it could be, yeah. And I think especially if you don't need this money, as long as you have a minimum of a 5-year time horizon, I would certainly be comfortable with that. And I think given where stocks are today, although they could go lower, especially if, you know, we find ourselves in a full-blown recession next year. So you'd have to be patient and be willing to wait that out. But clearly you're buying in off, you know, the highs of last year. And so if you're able to wait that out 5 years, I think you will be rewarded there and, you know, have some appreciation, which is going to help to offset the effects of inflation, which is obviously incredibly high right now.
Right. So a better choice would be to do that.
Yes. And perhaps it's a mix of all three. Maybe you take a portion and you take advantage of these high yields on the CDs. You put a portion in the shorter term duration Treasury bills, bonds, and notes. And then, you know, you take a third of it and, bolster your stock allocation and a properly diversified stock portfolio as well.
Oh, I always appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jackie. Thank you for calling today. God bless you. And we appreciate you listening to the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. And we've got some lines open here as we head toward our final segment in just a moment. Another quick email. And again, if you have an email you'd like read on the air, feel free to send it along to us at questions@moneywise.org. If you'd like to be on the air with us, 800-525-7000. Kate writes, I like my bank's free bill pay service. It simplifies paying monthly bills and helps with my money management. Is it okay to automatically send a check to my church each month? It feels weird to let the plate pass by without putting money in, even though I pay the tithe by mail. And you're not alone in wondering this, Kate. A great many Christians struggle with the idea of automated giving, considering that giving is an act of worship. It just feels perhaps disconnected. And so I think the answer is, which way feels more worshipful to you, if anything? I don't think there's anything wrong by any means with your tithe going through electronic means. But if you decide that physically putting something in the plate and that helps you to make this more of an act of worship, then I would say by all means, go there. On the other hand, if you're only doing that because you feel guilty or maybe somebody's watching as you're doing that, I wouldn't let that influence your decision. So at the end of the day, here's the way I would approach it, Kate. I'd pray about it. Ask the Lord to give you some wisdom and lead you in making the right decision. decision for you. Let me tell you a quick story. One of my mentors, Ron Blue, the author and good friend who joins us here on this broadcast regularly, he was doing that. He and his wife, Judy, were giving on an automated basis, and they felt like that it was disconnected, similar to what you did. And so they changed things, and here's what they now do. And not that this is necessarily the only way to do it, but this is just the way they landed. He comes to breakfast every Sunday morning. He brings with him a 3x5 card. He writes down all the income they received over the last week. They look it over. They pray over it. Thank God for that provision. Judy writes the check, and then together they take it to church, and they've found that it's a more worshipful experience for them as they celebrate God's provision. Whatever it is for you, I think is the right decision, so ask the Lord to give you some guidance there. All right, more of your questions just around the corner. 800-525-7000. Call right now, and we'll be right back.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Phone lines are open for your calls and questions today on anything financial. Would you like to get that credit score up? Or are you thinking about how to give wisely here at year end? Maybe you're thinking about repositioning your portfolio in the new year as you manage a stock and bond portfolio. Or you're thinking about the best time to take Social Security. That can be challenging. Or everything in between. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever you've been thinking about. I'd love to weigh in and bring God's wisdom from the Bible to bear on your decisions and choices financially. Give us a call. The number is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Hey, a quick announcement. We're excited to announce that on January the 2nd, 2023, that's right, just the beginning of next year, which is just around the corner, the MoneyWise radio show will become Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. That's right, a brand new name, same show, same trusted advice. Our app will change. It will be called FaithFi. That's Faith, F-I, and the website at faithfi.com, faithfi.com. You know, as an organization, we sense the need to strengthen the way we express the Christian worldview of faith and finances. Here's the reality, folks. Our legacy absolutely should be more than simply being wise with money. We're to be used by God as faithful, and I would say selfless, stewards to advance His kingdom. So again, January the 2nd, you'll hear a brand new name for the same program, and it'll be called Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're excited about that change, plus all the enhancements we'll be able to bring to you on the brand new FaithFi website and app with new features and new content and a whole new look and feel. And so that'll all be rolling out next year. And we're thrilled to be able to bring that to you. All right, phone lines are open today here in our final segment. Just a few moments left, but perhaps room for your question today at 800-525-7000. Another email, this one comes to us from Kelly. She writes, I'm 58 and retired with a healthy pension, and I give more than 10% of my income. I've been invited to go to Israel for 10 days. I have the money set aside. Is it scripturally okay for me to go on a vacation instead of giving more to a worthy cause? And boy, Kelly, I really appreciate that question. Clearly, you want to honor God with the resources that He has entrusted to you. And I appreciate you wanting to be found faithful in that. You know, scripture is clear that we need to rest and we're to enjoy God's blessings. God Himself rested on the seventh day during creation. Vacations are not a violation of any biblical principle. You're clearly already generous, as you said, and doesn't sound like you're going to go into debt. Well, you're not going to if you have the money set aside for this trip. So I would say there's no scriptural reason not to go to your question. So perhaps if you have a wrestling as to, you know, whether this is something you should do, perhaps you ask the Lord, take this to Him in prayer, and then make the decision after you pray through it and ask Him to make His will known to you. But I would say, scripturally speaking, as you think through the use of God's money, there is certainly nothing wrong with going on a vacation, and I think you'd be clearly in line with Scripture there. You know, as we think about money, some of the big ideas are, number one, that we are to use God's resources to enjoy. We see that in 1 Timothy. We should also live with contentment. We should see that we should live within God's provision as we handle His money and recognize, because He's the owner, every spending decision is ultimately a spiritual decision. And that's not to make us feel guilty in any way, but it's ultimately to make sure that we're using it in a way that honors Him as a tool to accomplish His purposes, not focused on the temporal, but ultimately operating with an eternal perspective. All right, let's take as many calls as we can between now and the end of the show. We've got a number of them lined up. We'll begin this round in Ohio. Bob, thank you for calling, sir. How can I help you?
Thank you. The reason I'm calling, I was alerted that I might win $25,000. I ain't got it yet, and probably if I did, I'd probably drop dead from a heart attack. But if I get that kind of money, and I'm on Social Security, a fixed income, what percentage of that money would I have to be taxed?
Well, first of all, I would concur with you, Bob. I hope you didn't give him any personal information, and what you probably will see result in the mail is nothing. But let's say you did. Generally, the U.S. federal government taxes prizes, awards, sweepstakes, lottery winnings, and other types of income in that regard as ordinary income, no matter the amount. So it would just be added to your taxable income for the year, and the appropriate federal tax rates would apply depending on the amount that you have.
Over the year, a regular year, let's see, $12,000 and probably, let's see, and $18.
That's what you're going to make prior to this?
Yeah, every year, I mean, you know, that's where I get from Social Security, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And you married, or you file as a single person?
No, I'm a widower now.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're filing a single, it'd be a 12% tax rate up to $41,000 in taxable income for the year. And then at that point, it would jump to 22%. So you would likely, again, it would just be added to your taxable income for the year, whatever it is. And then the tax rates would apply for those thresholds. It doesn't push all of it up into the higher bracket, but as you pass certain thresholds, the higher tax rate applies to that amount as you move up from there. So who knows? Maybe you'll see something from this, but if you do, that would be how you would treat it from a tax standpoint. You just add it to your taxable income for the year. Bob, thanks for calling, sir. To Texas we go. Karen, how can I help you?
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment concerning the previous question about giving online electronically. I feel like either is acceptable. The Lord's blessed with whatever giving. However, my husband and I, we're at a stage in our life where our children are grown and out of the house. And we have contemplated that before from the perspective of parents with young children. And we just have felt like it's necessary to caution people with young children that however you give, it needs to be a way that your children are aware that you are giving and making that a priority. Sometimes if you just give electronically automatically, they never see that. And so it's not a training for them.
Yes. Well, I totally agree, Karen. I think it's a great point that I should have mentioned. I'm glad you brought it up. And that is the idea that more is caught than taught. And so we need to model handling God's money wisely. And if they don't see us doing it, how do they know it's being done? It's kind of like, you know, having your quiet time in the morning. I love the idea that you do it in a consistent, visible place to, if nothing else, model for your kids, in addition to just your own time with the Lord, that's important. And I think the same is true with our giving. Unless we're talking about it regularly and we're talking about that we live on a spending plan, we're talking about that God owns it all, we're talking about that giving wisely is really important and giving systematically to support our local church. And then if they don't see us carrying that to church with us, how do they know it's being done? So I think you're exactly right. I think that would be another reason why you may want to consider, at least with your tithe, not doing it through an automated fashion if you have small kids at home. So thanks for sharing that idea. I think it's a good one.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Let's see, to Louisiana. Hey, Rich, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
This is just some information. I took my required minimum distribution from a rollover IRA. Usually, I send a charitable contribution so I don't have to pay tax on that money and the charity doesn't have to pay tax on that money. I usually send it to a charity called Iran Alive, which is a 501 C3 or 3C. And for the last 4 or 5 years, Fidelity, who I deal with, has always sent that money off. But this year they denied it. So I had to work my way up through the chain of command and finally got to somebody that told me that the Office of Foreign Assets Control, which is in the U.S. Department of Treasury, has denied that charitable contribution for some reason. And I'll try and dig in further and find that out why. But I just thought that was interesting that for 4 or 5 years I've been able to donate to that charity. But this year, nope, they won't let me do it.
That is interesting, Rich. I'd love to know how that turns out because you're exactly right. I mean, normally with a qualified charitable distribution from an IRA, as long as the charity is a 501c3 organization eligible to receive tax deductible contributions, and it's not a private foundation or a supporting org or a donor advised fund, you should be completely, you know, able to send that that gift as a QCD. And in this case, it sounds like it's not the fact that it wasn't or was a charity. It sounds like it's something related to it being a foreign entity that the Treasury has flagged. So, definitely try to get to the bottom of that one. See if they have maybe a stateside kind of sister organization that, they either it's a part of the same organization or that they work with. Perhaps you could direct it there as opposed to, an entity outside the U.S. But interesting thoughts, and we'd love to hear how that gets resolved. Thanks for weighing in on the program today, sir. We appreciate it. LC, unfortunately, I'm out of time. Thanks for calling today. We'd love to get you on first, perhaps tomorrow. So if you want to stay right there, our team can get your information and maybe give you a call back tomorrow. Thanks for calling in today. Well, folks, so grateful that you were along with us today on the program. On behalf of my team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland, I want to say it's a joy to serve you each day on this program as we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Don't forget, God owns it all. We're stewards, so money should be a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Hey, again, as we head toward year end, if you'd consider a gift to the ministry, we'd certainly be grateful. Just head to our website, moneywise.org, see our progress toward our year-end goal, and click the button that says Give Now at the top of the page. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.